Lord willing, this morning we'll be looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to read the first verse of Scripture. I would encourage you to follow along in the Word of God as I read this verse of Scripture and pray that God will help us as we try to study His Holy Word. Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1, the Word of God says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Now, this verse of Scripture is talking about that if this house is dissolved, we have a building of God, a home eternal in the heavens that is not made with hands. And when we talk about this house being dissolved, I think the main thing he's talking about is this body. That if this body is dissolved, if this body dies, and unless Jesus comes back to this earth very soon, this body, your body is going to die. The reality of death is something all of us need to think about and be conscious of, is the reality of death, the brevity of our lives, that we're only going to be here a little while. And in the thoughts about death, we need to know that death is not the end of life. The death is just the separation of life from the body. The Word of God tells us that in the very moment that we die, that our spirit returns to God that gave it. So I'm going and we're going to a home eternal in the heavens, not made with hands. And I think sometimes we think too much about the homes that we have here. And we think too much about our lives here, and we don't think enough about going to heaven. Heaven is real. And when you think about the reality of heaven, and you think about the fact that though everything in this world, including our bodies, are going to go back to the dust of the earth, when we think about that, it causes great joy when we know that we have another building, a house eternal in the heavens, a home eternal in the heavens, that's not made with hands. I believe that the older we get, the more we appreciate the reality of heaven. So Paul here, as he's writing to the saints of God at Corinth, he says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house eternal in the heavens, not made with hands." And brethren, we need to thank God for that. Now, I want us first of all just to think about how he begins by saying, "For we know." We know. I'm thankful that God has told us some things in His Word so that we can say we know some things. Now, I don't know whether I'm going to be here tomorrow, and I don't know whether I'll be faithful to God all my life, but I know that God is faithful. I know that God is true. I know that God cannot lie. There are a lot of things that we know. And did you know that the things that we know, they give stability to our lives? If you'll think about the things that God has told us in His Word, just the things that God says we know, every one of those is an anchor for our soul. And we need to think about the things God says we know. We need to think about this statement, that we know that if our earthly house is dissolved, we have another building. But we also need to think about all the other statements in the Word of God where God says, "Now we know something." For example, the Word of God says, "And we know that all things," what? All things work what? All things work together for good. How many of you have ever heard that? All things work together for good. Well, the rest of that verse says, all things work, we know. Now, this is something, it's an anchor for our soul. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Now, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Do you know that? Can you know that? How can you know that? Well, because God said it, and God cannot lie. Now, does that give stability to us when we're having trouble in our lives and we don't understand why all the trouble is coming? Does it cause you to have peace in your soul to know and declare and say, we know that all things work together for good? Does that cause you to have some peace in your soul when things are not going well? It does me. And another statement that God says we know. The Word of God says we know in 1 John 3:14. What does it say, Brother Richard? That's right. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Do you know whether or not you've been born again? Sometimes people say, I wish I could know whether or not I'm a child of God. Well, you can know. Because the Bible says we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. If you love the brethren, what do you know? You know that you have passed from death unto life. You know that you've been born again if you love the brethren. Why do you know that? Well, because God said that, and because nobody loves the brethren except those who have been born of the Spirit of God. Love is a part of the fruit of the Spirit of God. If you love the brethren, if you love God, it's because what? God first loved you. So, do you know? Can you know that you've passed from death unto life? Can you know you've been born again? Yes, you can know that because the Word of God says we know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Does that give you some peace in your soul to know you're a child of God, to know you're born again, to know that heaven is your home? To know that God has come to you while you were dead in trespasses and sin, and God has quickened you and God has made you alive. If you love the brethren, you can know that you have passed from death unto life. Another thing that the Apostle Paul says is, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Did Paul know that? He says, I know whom I have believed. Who is that? When he says, I know whom I have believed. Was that his daddy? Who was that? I know whom I have believed. Who was that? I know God. I know whom I have believed. I know God. And I know that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Does that give you peace in your soul? If you know what Paul knew there when he says, I know God, and I know that God is able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Do you see how that everything God says we can know, it's an anchor for our souls. It's something that gives us peace. It's something that gives us joy. And we need to thank God that there are some things we can know because God has told us so. That little song the children sing just came to my mind. What do they sing? Most of the children know. Jesus what? Jesus loves me. This I what? This I know. Now listen, brethren, that gives little children, and it ought to give every one of us some peace and an anchor for our soul. Jesus loves me. In spite of all my shortcomings, in spite of the sin in my life, in spite of all that I fail to do that I ought to do, in spite of all that I do that I ought not to do, Jesus loves me. This I know. Why? Why do you know such a thing as that? Say it again, Sister Peoples. For the Bible tells me so. See, that's what we know. I don't know anything in and of myself. If I think I know anything in and of myself, I don't know anything as I should. But when I know what God has said, when I can take the Word of God and believe the Word of God, there are some things I can know. And those things I know give peace and joy to my soul. They're an anchor for my soul. I can settle down in my life when I think about the things God says I know. We know. Now let's go back to, let me mention this. Are there some things you don't know? Are there some things you don't know? Well, certainly there are a lot of things you don't know. There are a lot of things I don't know. The Bible tells us there are a lot of things we don't know. The Bible says we're not supposed to say what we're going to do tomorrow Because we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, do we? So we better be careful about saying what we're going to do tomorrow or next week. We're supposed to say, if we live, and God is willing, we'll do this, that, and the other. But don't you ever say you know what you're going to do tomorrow, because you don't know. You don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. I don't know that I'm going to be here tomorrow. I may not be here tomorrow. You may not be here tomorrow. But I know some things, and I need to thank God for the things I know and be satisfied there's some things I don't know. I need to acknowledge there are things I don't know. Did you know there are things I don't know about, even about the Bible? Did you know there's some things I don't know? If you think I know it all, you're wrong. If you think I understand it all, you're wrong. I don't know it all. But there's some things I know. And that's what I'm going to take just a few minutes to talk about. If there's some things we don't know, in spite of all the joy that comes from what we do know, I want to think about the some things you don't know. Back up in your Bible to John chapter 9. Look at John chapter 9. I encourage all of you to go home and read and study John chapter 9. When you talk about knowing and not knowing, there's some things we don't know and there's some things we do know. I don't know of any chapter in the whole Word of God that talks more about people knowing things and not knowing things than John chapter 9. There are a lot of mistaken ideas. Are there some things you think you know that you're wrong about? Have you ever been wrong about something you thought you knew? I have. Many things I used to think I knew, I now know I was wrong in those things. Because as you study the Word of God, you're going to find that sometimes you have thoughts and feelings and beliefs that are contrary to the truth. But then when you look at the Word of God and you see what God says, you can say now, I was wrong, God is right. Look at John chapter 9. As Jesus passed by, this is John 9 verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, did they know why he was born blind? Did they know why he was born blind? Oh, they didn't know. Did they think they had it narrowed down to one of two reasons that he was born blind? They thought it was either because he had sinned or his parents had sinned. Who did sin that this man was born blind? Was it him or his parents? Now, they were totally wrong. They didn't even have it narrowed down to the two right things, because in the next verse, the Word of God says, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Now, why was he born blind? It was so that the works of God would be manifest in him. God was going to show his power through this man being born blind. God was going to come and heal this man. That's the reason he was born blind, is for the power of God and the glory of God to be manifest in this man's life. Were they wrong? Did they think they knew why he was born blind? Did they think they had it narrowed down to two reasons? Come on down further. Come down to verse 12. After Jesus has left, he's not right there with this man. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they begin to question the man. And they said to the man, they said unto him, where is he? Where is Jesus? He said, what did he say? I know not. Now, was there some things he didn't know? I don't know where Jesus is right now. I know where he was, but I don't know where he is right now. I know not. Come down to verse 19. And they asked him, that is, the scribes and Pharisees begin to ask the parents of the man. They asked him, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Listen to what his parents said. Did they know how he could see? Did the scribes and Pharisees know how he could see? Or are they asking the parents, how does he now see? Verse 20 says, his parents answered them and said, we know that this is our... Was that something they knew? We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind, but by what means he now seeth? What are the next three verses, words? We know not. We don't know how he can see. All we know is this is our son, and we know he was born blind, but we don't know the answer to the question about how he can now see. We don't know that. What's the point of all these scriptures we're looking at? There's some things you know, and there's some things you don't know. That's true of every one of you. Come down to verse 24. Listen carefully, verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now, when they talk about this man, who is that they're talking about? Jesus. They're talking about Jesus. But what do they think they know? They think they know Jesus is a sinner. Are they wrong about what they knew? You see, some things we don't know, some things we think we know that we're wrong about. What I'm trying to get across is, there's some things you don't know. But thank God there are some things you can know and do know. After they said this man is a sinner, we know that this man is a sinner. Verse 25, here's the blind man's response to that. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. I don't know that. He said he didn't know he was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I know, listen carefully what he says here. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Now that's something he knew, you see. Now, did you know every one of us can say that same thing today? Can you say today that you might not know everything there is to know about Jesus, but can you say you know some things about Jesus? Can you say you don't know everything about Jesus? People could ask you some theological question about Jesus that you might not could answer, but can you say, well now, I don't know everything about Jesus, but one thing I know, Jesus has touched my life. Jesus has made a difference in my life. I know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's what Peter said. All different kinds of people thought they knew who Jesus was. One said he was John the Baptist. Another said he was somebody else. But Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. How did he know that? Was he right when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? He was right. How did Peter know that? Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Are there some things you know this morning? Just like this blind man said, one thing I know. Are there some things you can say now, this I know? You know why you can say some things you know? It's because God has revealed them to you. Either through His Word or through His Spirit, God has revealed some things to you. You know, you're indebted to God if you know something about God and about Jesus Christ. Whatever you know, the more knowledge you have, the more truth that you know, the more indebted to God that you are. There are a lot of God's children today that don't know some of the things that you know. And you know what you're supposed to do? If you know some things about God and about God's Word, what are you supposed to do? Teach them. That's right. You're supposed to teach them. You're supposed to talk to them about God. If there are children of God that are walking contrary to God's Word, and you know that God judges His people according to their works while they live here in this world, what is it you better talk to some of those people about, the people about when you see them walking contrary to God's Word? What do you need to do? Well, you wait till your life is absolutely perfect, and then you can talk to somebody else about what's wrong in their life. If you're going to wait till you're absolutely perfect before you talk to anybody else, you'll never talk to anybody else. And God's Word says we're supposed to talk to other people about things that are wrong. There are things wrong in my life. There are things wrong in your life. And we're supposed to talk to one another, labor with one another. We're supposed to exhort one another. We're supposed to convert one another when we're going contrary to the truth. Because what do we know? I know Jesus judges His people according to their works while they live here in this world. How do you know that, preacher? Because God says so in His Word. Now, if I love my brother as myself, and I know he's on the wrong track, what am I going to do? I'm going to talk to him. I'm going to tell him, yes. What am I going to tell him? I'm going to tell him what I know. I know not only because of what Jesus says, God's Word says, but I know because of my experience in life, Jesus will judge His people according to their works. And I know it's a fearful thing. I know by my experience, not just because the Word of God says this, but I know it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now, are there some things you know? Are there a lot of things you know? Because the Bible says so. Are there some things you don't know? You can ask me a lot of things about heaven. I can't tell you. I'm talking about eternal heaven when we die. You can ask me a lot of things about eternal heaven. I cannot answer a lot about that. I can tell you a lot about the kingdom of heaven because that's what most of the Bible is about. But I can't tell you a lot about eternal heaven. Is there anything I can tell you that I know about eternal heaven? You just tell me. Tell me anything you know about eternal heaven. Somebody tell me anything you know about eternal heaven. Okay, it's real. Heaven is real. Okay? What else? Okay, you're going to heaven when you die because you've been faithful in church attendance and you've been tithing. And why are you going to be in heaven? It's not okay because you're redeemed by the. It's not because he's been in church. It's not because he's done good works. You don't get to eternal heaven by your good works. You're going to be in the eternal heaven because of the amazing grace of God, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. You know that you're not worthy to be in eternal heaven, but you know you're going to be there because God has redeemed you by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Now that's a good thing to know. If I thought I was going to heaven based on my works, in fact, I know a lot of people that think they are, and most of them will tell you, that they tell me, I go to bed every night thinking I'm not going to die and go to hell. You know why? Why do they think that they're going to die and go to hell? Because at night when they go to bed, what do they think about? Well, I wasn't good enough today. Maybe I'll be good enough tomorrow. Listen, if you think you're going to be in eternal heaven when you die based on your works, you'll never have peace in your soul. You'll have peace in your soul when you know you're going to be in eternal heaven because of what God has done for you, not because of what you're doing for God. You're going to be in eternal heaven because Jesus has paid for your sins. That's the reason you're going to be. You're going to be in eternal heaven because of the amazing grace of God. Now, do you know that? That songwriter that wrote, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you think John Newton really thought he was a wretch? No, that's a word we don't use today. A wretch? I'll tell you, he knew he was a wretch. He knew he was a wretched sinner. And I know I sin and come short of the glory of God, but in spite of all of that, I know I'm going to be in eternal heaven because of what Jesus has done for me. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Tell me something else you know. What's something else you know? Besides the fact heaven is real and you're going to be there. Okay, there's no need for the sun and the moon in eternal heaven because Jesus is the light thereof. That comes right out of God's Word. That Jesus is going to be, the glory of Jesus is going to be what illuminates eternal heaven. Not going to have any need of the sun and the moon and the stars. There is no night there. Jesus is going to shine in eternal heaven. Just like on the Mount of Transfiguration. You remember when Peter, James, and John went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus began to shine. The Bible says He shined as bright as the noonday sun. He was shining brightly. I'll tell you, that's what's going to shine in eternal heaven, is Jesus. What else do you know?
We know
that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now, there are those who say, I know Him, but don't keep His commandments. All this is in 1 John chapter 1 and 2. There are those who say, I know Him, but they don't keep His commandments. And the Bible says He's a liar. But the Bible says, we know that we... That's a good one. That's real good. We know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Do you know when I know that I know Jesus? It's when I'm keeping His commandments. You know when I doubt my salvation? It's when I'm not keeping His commandments. When I'm walking in a way contrary to the Word of God, I have my doubts and fears about me. But when I'm walking in the way that Jesus would have me walk, I know that I know Him. My daddy used to, when he would preach that text, he'd say, there's some things I think, there's some things I know, and there's some things I know that I know. And that's what John's saying. We know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Let me tell you something about eternal heaven you can know. Turn in your Bibles to 1 John. I'll tell you, John writes a lot about things we can know. Look at 1 John. This is right before Jude and Revelation, very end of the New Testament. In fact, turn to Revelation and just back up about three pages, and you should be in 1 John chapter 3. Look at 1 John chapter 3. What's heaven going to be like? I'm talking about eternal heaven. Are there some things you don't know about eternal heaven? I'll tell you, one of the first questions that was ever asked me after I was ordained, I can remember an elderly member of the East Highland Primitive Baptist Church in Columbus that came to me, and she had had a child that died when many, many years before that. And she said, "Brother Billy, am I going to know my child in heaven?" I had one opinion then. I have a different opinion now. The bottom line is, you study God's Word on that. You look at 1 John chapter 3. I'm going to tell you something you can know, okay? Look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, listen to verse 2. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, he says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." Isn't that marvelous? Right now. Now are we the sons of God. Now listen. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be." Do you know exactly what you're going to be like when you're in eternal heaven? I don't know all of that. "It doth not yet appear what we shall be." Here's what we know. "But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." You know something I know? I know that one day I'm going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. I'm going to be made absolutely perfect one day in the final resurrection when the saints of God are called home to be with the Lord. The spirit that's already gone home to be with God, and these bodies that have gone back to the dust of the earth, the bodies are going to be raised from the dust of the earth, reunited with the Spirit, and we're going to be conformed to the image of the Son of God. We're going to be made absolutely perfect, and so shall we ever be with the Lord in that eternal heaven. I know that. "It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we're going to be like Him." Is that enough to know? Does that satisfy all the questions in your mind? Okay, no, it doesn't satisfy all my questions. I've still got questions. But I know all I need to know. Listen, God's told you in His Word all you need to know. The Bible says the secret things belong to the Lord. There's some things you don't know, there's some things you won't know as long as you live. But I thank God He's given us His Holy Word. There are a lot of things we can know. I doubt there's anybody here that knows all you could know if you just keep studying God's Word. Can you grow in knowledge? That's the last thing Peter said. He says, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." Do you know when we come to the house of God, one of the things that happens almost every time we come is I learn more. You might say, "Well, good gracious, you've already studied this. You're preaching it. You ought to know it already." There are many times I'm in the middle of preaching, God's showing things to me while I'm preaching. I learn from studying. I learn every week. I learn sometimes when I listen to you talk. I learn things about God. I know more and more and more. But I'll tell you, if ever I get to thinking I know it all, guess what? Guess what God will do to me? He'll take away whatever knowledge I had. Does God do that? Yes, He does. God will take away knowledge that you have if you don't keep trying to serve the Lord. He'll take that knowledge away. I don't know how in the world. There's one place that time goes quicker than any place on this earth. And guess where it is? It's in the house of God. How in the world 30 minutes can go by so quickly is beyond me. Because I haven't gotten to the text. See, what's the text? What's the text? Can anybody tell me where the text is? The text is in 2 Corinthians 5:1. That's what I haven't gotten to. We know. In fact, let's just start there tonight. Listen, brethren, if you want great joy in your soul, you be here tonight and you listen to what the Word of God says. We know. In fact, the first word is "for." For we know. Now, if you want to know why that word "for" is there, you back up to 2 Corinthians 4, and that's what we want to do tonight, is we want to go through 2 Corinthians 4 to see why 2 Corinthians 5:1 is so important. It's because of the things he's enumerated in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. May God help us to study His Word and learn more about His Word and rejoice in what we know. Aren't you glad of some things you know? Thank God for whatever you know is my prayer for Christ's sake.